Blog Talk Radio.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Highest indeed. Good morning, everyone. I am your host, as ever, the Reverend Bishop Christian Rake, and I'd like to welcome you to worship and Sunday morning inspiration in the Charismatic Universalist tradition. I hope you've had a wonderful week of recovery from Memorial Day. I know I did. And I hope that God has blessed you abundantly this week and will continue to do so throughout the summer and all the days of your life. Let me tell you a little bit about who we are. The Charismatic Universalist Church is the new ancient church. We are within the trunk of the tree of the original church. So we're sort of Catholic in a lot of the things we do in our theology, because this was the theology of the very first church. However, you might call us liberal Catholic. Unlike other liberal churches, we have not thrown out the theology and liturgy of the first century church. We have not changed the words and the prayers of the Bible to make them gender inclusive and whatnot. We don't believe in changing the things that came right from Christ. However, even though we retain all of that beauty and truth and excellence, we, like Jesus, believe in meeting the human person where and as they are. So we welcome the outcast, and we understand that not all roads to God are our own. The definition of religion is one's own personal journey to the divine as they understand it. So we look for the poor, the widowed, who were the lowest of the low in Jesus' society. We believe Christ was God and became human in order to make us see humans around us. He became human that humans might become divine. And as divine beings, we should have the heart of God and look upon our fellow human beings with love and compassion. Jesus said, what we do for others, we do for him. And not all that we do for him is good for us. So we welcome you, all of you, as you are. The Charismatic Universalist Church believes that although we were at the periphery of Catholicism, it is because we believe in full sacramental membership in the church for all, regardless of race, gender, marital status, or sexual orientation. God loves you, not because of who you are, but because of who God is. And we are all called to love one another also because of who God is to all of us. So that's a little bit about who we are. You can go to our website, which is a work in progress, and that work has stalled because Bishop's been busy with our other business that actually pays, because I am a full volunteer here right now. So you can go to that website, which is www.charismatic-universalist.org. You can go there to find out more. If you would like to contact us for any sacraments, for spiritual direction from me, for house blessings, if you're in Northern Illinois or even in the Midwest region, you can contact me to be married. I will travel to you if you help cover expenses for travel. And if you're in the area, I will come to you for baptism if you would like your child baptized. Now understand, if you ask for these sacraments, and let's say you're Catholic, but you're a gay couple who would like to get married, if you call on me, I will not force you to become part of the CUC. You can remain Catholic, and I will perform that sacrament for you in the Catholic tradition. You can be of any tradition and call on me for a sacrament that your own faith does not allow you. So never worry about calling on me for baptism and my saying, oh, you have to join the faith. That's not how it works with us. If you have a child you want baptized and you want godparents, and the Catholic Church won't let you have those godparents because one of them was never confirmed or whatever the law might say, you can call on us and we'll perform that for you without expectation of you becoming part of the CUC. And so please never worry about that. We're here for you. Our job is to come to you and to offer you the things that your own faith traditions don't. And for those of you who are interested in joining the CUC, that's fantastic. Contact me for that also. For anything you might need, you can get a hold of me by emailing me at charismaticuniversalist@gmail.com. Charismatic is CHARISMATIC. Universalist, UNIVERSALIST, @gmail.com. If you need this information, you can go to Blog Talk Radio. You can find our page. And all of this is there for you, so you don't have to remember or run for a pencil or anything like that. So you know, we do take donations to help with our ministry. We attempt to do everything for free, but right now that means that Bishop's own personal money is put into everything that we do. And of course, I have to be careful of the tax man, because forming your own religion has been a traditional tax dodge over the years. That is not the point of this. However, you have to be cautious. If you would like to make a donation, you can do so on PayPal by sending a donation to our other email, which is charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. You can send us a check at Charismatic Universalist Church, P.O. Box 4163, St. Charles, Illinois, 60174. Again, all of this information is on our page on Blog Talk Radio. One of the things we suggest is $1 per download of our show, which should be $4 a month and would certainly help us cover the costs of being on Blog Talk. We also offer gifts for those of you who would like to send certain amounts. For $5, you can get a Saint Medal or a prayer book. We have the St. Benedict medals, which are the Exorcist medals, and St. Michael's medals, both of which are powerful protection against evil. For $10, you will get a CD of personalized guided meditations. You send me the issues you want to work on, and I do guided meditations like we do at the end of this show, specifically for you. For $15, we will send you a thank you gift of a rosary, white or black. For $20, we will send you a gift of a study Bible, which is the exact Bible I use for all of my Bible studies, for all of my research, and for every show I do. And for a $35 gift, we'll send you all of the above. If you think that your gift, even of a dollar, is too small to make a difference, try spending the night in a closed room with a mosquito. Even the smallest amount can be helpful. So there's my plea for money. I hate doing it, but it's one thing that all pastors hate doing. But we do need to tell you how you can help us out if you enjoy this show and would like it to continue. I'll just let you know that we are expanding to YouTube soon. We will be putting the shows on YouTube with beautiful pictures from various professional photographers. And we will get to the point with some videographers where we record me actually speaking to you, which would be nice. I see my smiling face every morning. Please follow us on Blog Talk. Click the follow button above the page if you're listening as live streaming. And also, we ask you to come like our page on Facebook. You will get information about the Bible. You will get historical information, little sermons, funny gags and jokes, and also information about our shows and events. Now, before we fully begin, now that we've had that annoying little intro, not annoying, necessary, I would like for us to please pray for the world, in particular, those affected by natural disasters, which seem to be coming fast and furiously upon all of us here in America and around the world. So, let us begin that prayer together. See if I can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Heavenly Father, Lord, glorious and powerful One, our rock and salvation, our hope in distress, our calm in the storm and light in the darkness, Daddy, your little ones are suffering. This world and its natural forces are difficult to face and survive. We suffer torrents of wind and water, ice and storm, lightning and fire, landslides and volcanoes, tsunamis and earthquakes. The ground beneath our feet is as unstable as the wind above us and the water around us. We cannot trust nature, though we need it. You are the still, calm voice in the silence after the storms and the wind. Elijah heard you after the lightning and after the terror. Yet we know that you are with us during our trials. You carry us through. You are with the people who grab others before and during the danger to save the lives of others at risk of their own. You are with the first responders, helping them find survivors in the rubble. You calm the survivors beneath pounds and pounds of rubble as they await rescue. You are with ordinary citizens and people who rush to help find the lost and the wounded. You are with the people around the world who reach into their wallets deeply to help and who volunteer to go into the devastation and rebuild. You are with those who grieve the loss of loved ones and are the home and the home and possessions built throughout a lifetime of struggle and work. You comfort their hearts, telling them their loved ones are with you now and their possessions can be recovered. Lord, soften our hearts to those who suffer. Help us always find a way to help them to pray for them if that's all we have. Move all hearts around the world to be with those suffering ones. Comfort and heal their distress, Lord, we pray. Bring us all into such grace and charity whenever we encounter suffering. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all for joining me in that prayer. Let us begin and talk about our topic today. Our topic today is healing. And healing has to do a lot, of course, everything with suffering. Excuse me a minute. You're going to listen to me drinking every morning because my mouth gets so dry during the night. Healing is not necessarily curing. It's a way of helping the human person come to peace with their situation, healing the pain in their hearts and soul, and their anger at what has happened to them, what is causing their ailment, their situation. I've been a part of many, many healings, and I want to tell you a couple of stories. First, if you're listening and you have your phone and you have your chat, you can call at any point in the show or come on to chat to request healing prayer. We'll pray over you from a distance. And we'll let you know that many of my healings have occurred over a distance. So space and time has nothing to do with God's abilities, because these are not my abilities. It's God who moves through me. Our phone number is 347-633-9174. If you're listening as live streaming, I don't know if the chat room's working yet, but hopefully you can see the chat room and the number is there. If you have a phone, you have the number, you have the chat. Just for fun, I wanted to have a little contest this morning. I think I might add this to the show. It's Bible trivia. And this is a story that occurs in the Old Testament, and I want to see how well you know it. If you call in and get it right, I'm going to send you a free St. Benedict medal to wear on your person to protect you. Again, number is 347-633-9174. And here's the question. What was the name of the Aramean major general who came to Elisha to be cured of leprosy and was told to dunk in the Jordan River 7 times to cure his leprosy? The number is 347-633-9174 or in the chat. I'm just looking for his name. At any point in the show, if you call in with his name, I will mail you a free St. Benedict medal. They're very nice. They're large. They're heavy nickel and just beautiful. And the markings on them all have a very special meaning. So if you know the answer to that question, go ahead and call in. If you're listening as live streaming, Google's right in front of you. So that's made contests a little easier, hasn't it? Let me tell you a story about a couple of healings I've been a part of. For some reason, I always knew I could do this. And it's kind of strange when you have this sense that you just know how. You don't know how you know how, but you just know how to do something. You know, some of us get on a bike and we just know how to ride it. Some of us get in a car and we just know how to drive well. When you do something for the first time, something you've never done before or learned about before, and you just know how to do it, now that's something special. And we all wonder about stuff like that. Could it be a past life? Have you just had so much experience around people who do it? We don't know how it is that people can do those things. Well, I was one of them when it came to healing. I remember, I think this was my first healing. It may not have been. I don't remember doing a healing on him, but my brother struggled when he was born with a severe heart condition. And I was older, 3 years older than him. And I remember sitting in his room and touching his chest. He's 36 now and doing quite well. So I don't know if I did anything at that point. Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, I distinctly remember being in my 20s. I was in the kitchen with probably my best friend in the world, Janice. She was my babysitter when I was younger. She was 20, a little more than 20 years older than me. And when she passed away at 60, I'd known her for 27 years. I worked for her. We were just closer than close. She was my second mother and my best friend. But anyway, we were standing in her kitchen, and she suffered from terrible headaches that came from her neck because she had neck trouble. And so we're standing there, and she was saying, "Oh, my neck, it's starting up again." And I walked up to her, and I held my hand out, and I said, "Can I?" And she said, "Sure." So I put my hand on her neck, and I did what I do. And I can't tell you more than that. It feels like I'm conducting electricity through my body. It's like there is a train or a wind tunnel flowing through me that I cannot stop once I start. Almost like giving birth. And the second I touch the person with the intention of healing, it begins. And I touched her, and she jumped, and I pulled my hand away, and she said, "What did you just do?" And I was scared. I said, "Nothing. I didn't do anything. It wasn't me," choking. And she said, "I felt heat and a jolt of electricity." And she began turning her head, and she said, "It doesn't hurt anymore at all." From that point on, for the next 15 years, she never got another migraine. Never. And she brought it up to me probably a year and a half before she died. She said, "I remember that." And I never had a neck problem after that. So that was my first encounter with that ability. And it was pretty amazing to me because, again, I always knew I could do that, but I didn't know how I knew that I could do that. Well, this is going to be an unusual show, a bit of a different format. So I'm going to play a song that sort of represents my feeling about that ability, and then I'll tell you some more stories. So anyway, yes, God is great. God is amazing. And when we receive gifts like that, it is very, disconcerting. It is truly amazing that God makes himself present in each and every one of us in order to build up his kingdom, to help his people, to rejoice in what he did and what he will do with us in the future. So when I am part of the healing process, I am always amazed by what happens. It makes no earthly sense that anyone should be able to do what Jesus does and what he did. But he said we would, and so we do. And it's difficult to understand. It's really difficult to be a part of without feeling strange, without feeling like, frankly, you don't belong on the earth. But you're not special. Excuse me, I don't feel special. With every gift, there's a difficulty that comes with it. And the difficulty is knowing when you're supposed to do it and not. I remember that I had been doing it so much that I became physically drained, and I started to get sick because what the spiritual energy that was coming out of me was fantastic. What was coming in was almost non-existent. I had no time to recharge. I had no time to make myself better, and I, in the past 2.5 years, have become sick constantly, and not with little things. I mean, surgeries and bone-eating infections and stuff like that. I sometimes look up to God and I'm like, seriously? Again? What the hell is going on? You know, that's been my prayer quite frequently with God. I look up, my hands, palms up, and I go, WTF God. That is my prayer. I don't understand what the hell you are doing to me and why. And I know that if you're sick and suffering, even if you never consciously think that, it's in you. What the fuck? Forgive my language. That's what you're thinking. Why? What did I do? Why did the illness visit me? Why couldn't it have visited someone else? It's in your heart, whether you admit it or not. It's there. You know it. If you're honest with yourself, you know that's what you're thinking. You know it's in there somewhere. And so that keeps us from God, that feeling. And we all have it. So a huge part of healing is to remove that. You may not get a physical cure, but your healing will allow God to come in, because that resistance and that anger is gone. It's done away with. So let me tell you one more story about a healing I was a part of, and I'll let you go. Actually, let me tell you three. I have 4 or 5 stories of healings that were not merely low back pain. They were healings where the person had a serious diagnosis, and after God sent me to them, they had medical proof that what was definitely there was no longer there. The first time this happened for me, and for the person, I should say happened through me, was during a Bible study group. Now, we had a couple of charismatic Catholics there. And this is the Charismatic Universalist Church because we do believe that the gifts of the Spirit come to all of us in a very powerful way, and that we should be practicing those gifts at every moment. Irma Bombeck said, and I love this, we should spend our lives giving everything we have so that when we get to God, we do not have a single thing left. Isn't that beautiful? You give those talents and you invest them and you give them away, give them away, give them away. So when you get to God, you get to Him with empty hands. Beautiful image. So anyway, during this Bible study, we had a couple of charismatic friends. There are actually four of our seven-person group were charismatic Catholics. They spoke in tongues, they prayed in tongues, they did healing, spontaneous prayer. It was amazing, and this was so attractive to me. I mean, I just wanted to be a part of it. So anyway, we had the person in whose home we met every week had to have surgery. She had a ovarian and uterine cyst. It was on a film. Doctor diagnosed it. She was going to have it removed. And we prayed over her. You know, we just laid hands on her. And all of a sudden, the charismatics and the two of us who weren't all burst out in tongues. We're all praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Just so you know, since it's not strange snake handling stuff, we know that at least three of the four gospel writers and Paul spoke in tongues because Paul said he did and the rest were at Pentecost. So we know that this was a first century gift of the church. Paul says they're all speaking in tongues. They thought it was special to speak in tongues and that made them more important than everyone else. So anyway, we all spoke in tongues as we laid hands on her. And I put my hand over the area. I could see the problem in my mind. And I put my hand there. And again, that rushing wind came through me. And she started to cringe like it hurt. And she said it did hurt. It was hot and it hurt. And it felt like there was electricity in it. And then she got up and the pain went away. But, you know, that happens. She went to the doctor for a final x-ray to determine the location of the cysts. They were gone. All of them gone. The doctor was pretty stunned and just said, well, you know, the other x-ray, maybe it was something else. The other x-ray clearly shows them. But, you know, doctors, they're scientists. They can't accept the idea that healing can happen without a knife or a medication. So anyway, that was the first. And there have been so many after them. There was one in particular who was extremely special to me. And I'm going to tell you that story while we're in worship. So let's sing a really, really joyful song about getting to that place. And then during worship, we'll talk more about healing, what it is, what it isn't, what it was in the New Testament and its purpose, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Again, in chat or by phone, you can call in or write in for healing prayer. From here, the number is 347-633-9174. And I truly hope that you'll call in and allow me to pray over you. I would love to help you There is nothing in return for this. People have tried to give me stuff, and I can't accept it. It's simply a gift that I have to give away so that when I meet God, I have nothing left. But join me in this joyful song. It's an oldie, but a beautiful one. And then we'll start with worship. We had a little glitch there, and my mic went out. So let us begin again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Before we prepare to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins and ask God for his healing, love, and forgiveness. Lord, you came to heal the contrite. Lord, have mercy. Lord, you are at the right hand of God, praying for us. Christ, have mercy. Lord, you came that we may have hearts not of stone, but of love. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and lead us into everlasting life. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. In the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, bring us into the light of your healing. Be with us always. Send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may have hearts of joy, no matter what trials and sufferings we face in this world. Amen. Our first reading is from the Book of Kings. Elijah went to Zarephath of Sidon, to the house of a widow. The son of the mistress of the house fell sick, and his sickness grew more severe until he stopped breathing. So she said to Elijah, "Why have you done this to me, O man of God? Have you come to me to call attention to my guilt and to kill my son?" Elijah said to her, "Give me your son." Taking him from her lap, he carried the son to the upper room where he was staying and put him on his bed. Elijah called out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, will you afflict even the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself out upon the child three times and called out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let the life breath return to the body of this child." The Lord heard the prayer of Elijah. The life breath returned to the child's body, and he revived. Taking the child, Elijah brought him down into the house from the upper room and gave him to his mother. Elijah said to her, "See, your son is alive." The woman replied to Elijah, "Now indeed I know that you are a man of God. The word of the Lord comes truly from your mouth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm response is Psalm 30. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. Our response, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Sing praise to the Lord, you faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall weeping enters in, but with the dawn rejoicing. Our response, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks. Our response, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Our second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive from a human being, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you heard of my former way of life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and progressed in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my race, since I was even more a zealot for my ancestral traditions. But when God, who from my mother's womb had set me apart and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me, so that I might proclaim him to the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Rather, I went into Arabia, then returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to confer with Cephas and remained with him for 15 days. But I did not see any of the other apostles, only James, the brother of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The cornerstone which the builders rejected has become our cornerstone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The peace of the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples in a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the pallbearers halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about Jesus spread through the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding regions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I apologize for earlier. The mic was off, and I didn't realize it, so you got quite a bit of silence. Thank you for hanging in there. Excuse me. If you want to download this episode, give me about 10 minutes, and I'll edit that out so that you don't have it in there. Okay. This is the homily. It's called, "What is Healing?" Well, what is healing? Healing is not curing, all right? It's not always a physical cure, but it is a change, a transformation in the entire person so that their mental betterment, their spiritual betterment occurs. Now, with a better spirit, a better mind, a more focused person, that transformation can itself affect a physical cure. Sometimes, I believe this, I've seen it to be true, but this is just a belief. I'm not stating this as a church belief or anything. This is my personal observation. It isn't that we create our own illnesses, but when we get sick, it's always a part of our body where we hold our stress, and it relates to the problems we've had in our life. I'll give you an example of what I mean. There was this gentleman at seminary, really, really good guy, liked him tremendously. He used to tell the funniest stories, and he constantly pulled his back out, just constantly. As he was telling me the stories of times that this happened, I noticed a pattern. The last time it happened, he was talking to his ex-wife. It became a very heated argument, and he had stuff in front of his phone, so he had to reach over to hang it up. And in reaching over and keeping his feet planted flat on the floor, he pulled his back out. He couldn't move. All he could do is lay on the floor until someone found him. He had fallen down a small flight of steps when he originally heard it as a kid after an argument with his sister. There was a series of these, and he always heard it after a stressful encounter with a woman. And I pointed that out to him, and I said, is that a pattern? I mean, you're the only one who knows all the times you've heard it. And he thought about it and said, holy S-H-I-T, you're right. That I have always hurt my back after an argument with a woman. I said, maybe if you heal your feelings about women, because you've been hurt by women your whole life, if you heal your view of women, maybe your back will stop getting hurt. It was a novel idea. And he said he'd give it a try, and he did, and he didn't hurt his back for the rest of the year. But that doesn't mean anything. He may have heard it later. But interesting, isn't it? Isn't it interesting that sometimes our ailments have to do with our situation in life? A lot of people who have heart problems, not all, but people who have heart problems have often had lives of heartbreak, just incredible pain. Over family, over children. I've seen that. Broken dreams and stuff, and then there's a heart problem. I had a terrible problem with my guts and with my jaw. And what's interesting is I clench my jaw. That's where I keep my distress. But it was an infection from a faulty tooth pull. And the oral surgeon made a huge mistake with my tooth pull, and I got a bone-eating infection called osteomyelitis in my jaw. It's excruciatingly painful, and I've had it for over a year now. We're still treating it because it's still painful. It's not there anymore, but it did a lot of damage. So, you know, when I thought about hurting my jaw, I'm like, is there a relationship? The only thing I could think of is I've spent my whole life preaching or wanting to preach, but this would actually prevent me from doing that. So do I really not want to? Is someone trying to stop me from doing it, which happens a lot, or is it just a coincidence? Because any problem with my mouth would have to do with speaking. I'm more inclined to think this was a coincidence. But anyway, that's sometimes true, that the ailment is in your body. And so if the healing occurs, and it's of your spirit, and it's of your mind, then perhaps that will help the physical ailment that flows from it to get better. So let's say I pray over somebody, and they receive some kind of healing. Sometimes it's a physical cure. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes the cure happens later, or sometimes what I'm healing is an obstruction, an obstacle. And I'm saying I for the sake of conversation. I know, of course, that this is God moving through me. So I've had people who have come to me, let's say, with infertility. And when I prayed over them, they didn't get pregnant. Some of them did. But there's one in particular who didn't get pregnant. But her heart finally opened to the idea of adoption. And they've adopted, I think they have 6 kids now, from war-torn countries, all with trauma. And they work on healing them. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know if it was the prayer, but before she came to us in that group, she was dead set against adoption, only wanted her own children. She left there and 2 days later had all the paperwork for an adoption. So at least the world is a better place for her changing her mind. there are six kids out there for whom she and her husband have made a huge life-changing difference. And that's fantastic. It's beyond fantastic. It's miraculous. So I spoke to a Reiki healer. I had my aura picture done. I'm very fascinated in that because I've always been able to kind of see them a bit. Not always, but kind of. And it was funny because there was just gold and rainbows coming out the right side, which is where you give stuff. The left side was black, which is where you bring stuff in. So I was like, oh, I need to do some work on giving myself some time and space to feed myself, I guess. But what's interesting is, after I had that, I was talking to a Reiki master, and I told her, you know, that I did this, and that sometimes it didn't work, and what was her opinion on that? Because sometimes it doesn't work. You know, the person is no different. They don't get a healing. And she said sometimes there's resistance. The person really doesn't want to be healed. That I understand. Because some people have come to identify so closely with their illness that the illness has become their persona. It is their identity. And to be healed means losing who they are. You know, they put the illness up front when they meet people. It's like the first or second thing they tell you when you meet them, if it's not an obvious illness. And I've had that happen. I moved into a house. And my neighbor came up to me and introduced herself. And literally the first thing she said after her name ended in her telling me that she had a flesh-eating disease in her lady parts. And I turned to my husband and I said, where on God's green earth have you moved me? I was from New Jersey. This is my first house in Illinois. And this is the first person I meet. It was a riot. But she had come to identify so closely with suffering being her identity that that's what she said. And there are a lot of people out there here like that. Where I'm from, you hide your illness. It's no one's business. No one's allowed to ask. I have a family member who was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and we assume she's okay. We do ask, but not always. You know, it's her business, and if she needs us, she'll tell us. You know, it's so different. But anyway, there is some resistance to healing. And this Reiki master said to me, how do you know that their suffering and their illness isn't to teach them something in this life? And that you have no business healing them. And I thought, no, I need to heal anybody of anything. You know, suffering is bad. And she said, not necessarily. It may be their calling to suffer. And, you know, that brings up questions of soul contracts and vocation and the soul coming here to learn something in particular in past lives and pre-existence. There's a lot of stuff that's implied in that someone is here to have an illness. I don't know. I don't know what I think about that the suffering is part of what they need to learn. I think you can learn lessons without suffering. I really do. I had this discussion with someone once who insisted, no, suffering is for our good. God sends it. And I hate that. I don't think God sends it. But he's like, God sends suffering to teach us a lesson and to hit us because of our sin. And I was going crazy because I hate that stuff. And I said, no, we can learn those lessons without suffering. And he's like, Christina, how could you appreciate the sun if there weren't rain? And I said, seriously, if you lived in the place where it was always 72 degrees with a breeze and sunny with no rain and green everywhere, you tell me that you would need rain to appreciate that? And he just kind of was stunned, and he goes, no, you're right. I would appreciate that without any rain. I said, exactly. It's enough to know what rain is. You don't have to have it. So that was my point. I don't think you need suffering to learn lessons. But if you believe in the concept of soul contracts, which is when it's pre-existence and multiple lives, and you have certain souls that you keep coming back with in different roles in order to teach you a lesson. You know, your mother in one life might be your daughter in the next, and that sort of thing. I don't know. I think the concept's neat, but it kind of knocks at free will, so I'm not sure what I think about it. Past lives I can accept. It's part of Jewish mysticism, in fact. And there's a line in scripture that sort of implies that it may have been part of some of the Jewish sect's beliefs during Jesus' time, because the apostles ask him when he meets the man born blind, who sinned, this man or his parents? Well, you can't sin in the womb, and he was born blind. So how could they ask about his sin? Well, it implies a belief in a past life or pre-existence where he sinned. So, you know, it's in there. Anyway, why did Jesus heal? Let me talk a little bit about this because this is interesting. Why heal? Well, he healed, first of all, to prove to us that he was the Messiah. All right, the miracles he performed were for the belief of others, and he tells them that. I do this so that you might believe and glorify God and stuff like that. So that's the first reason he heals. He gives that healing ability to his apostles. If you remember in Acts, Peter's shadow fell on sick people that surrounded him, and they were healed just from his shadow. They touched his cloak, his apron, and were healed by touching that. When Peter wiped sweat off of his face, he threw the rag down and they touched it and were healed. So, you know, the healing was so powerful in those men and women, and that continued through the church. Now, some people reject healing now. They say the miracles were only in the first century church. But Jesus didn't say, you know, only you guys and no one after you. He said, you know, and all of us will do greater things than he did. So healing continues. Anyway, in fact, the Talmud, one of the Talmuds, there are several, and the Talmud is the Jewish commentary on scripture, all right? In one of the Talmuds, it says to the people, do not take your sick children to the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. It is better that the child die than be healed by those heretics. All right. I mean, if you want proof that Jesus performed miracles, there you go. There's a lot of people who dismiss the miraculous in scripture. No, we've got some evidence that it happened. In fact, there are writings from the very early third century, which would be like between 190 and 210 AD, talking about how some of the people who rose from the dead at Jesus' death, if you remember, the Gospels say that when he died, the dead were rising from the grave and the temple veil ripped in two and there was an earthquake. Well, this person writing in between 190 and 210 AD said that some of those people who rose from the dead were still alive. So they were alive and walking around and talking about what happened to them. So, you know, we have evidence outside of the Gospels that talk about the miracles and healings of Jesus. And it's interesting, he did that to prove to us that he was the Messiah. Say, Aquinas had this beautiful line about Jesus. He said, he was born of a woman to prove he was human. He was born of a virgin to prove he was God. And he performed those miracles to prove he was the Messiah. That last part is me. Now, Jesus did that to prove that he was God. So as Christians, we have that evidence that he was God and that our belief is not in air or in a liar or in anything like that. What's interesting is other founders of other religions refused to perform miracles. When Muhammad's disciples asked him, what miracle can you perform to prove that you are the Holy One of God? He said, no, I'm not going to perform the miracle. The Quran is my miracle. Same with Joseph Smith. He was asked to perform miracles. And he said, no, the Book of Mormon is my miracle. And there are other prophets who healed and did the same thing Jesus did. Just like Moses contested against the magicians in Pharaoh's court, and they threw down their staffs to become snakes, but Moses threw down his, and his snakes ate the others. All right, what Jesus did was even greater than what others were doing. Others were doing it, but he was doing stuff that the others couldn't. Jesus is referred to as the great physician because he heals the soul. His whole life, death, and resurrection are a healing. Healing of sin, healing of pain, healing of the chasm between us and God. That cross lays over the chasm so that it connects us to God now. We can get there from here. Jesus' whole existence was for healing. And when he healed the paralytics, when he healed the lame, the blind, the lepers, it was to allow them to go back to worship in the temple. You see, the temple, the Jews forbade anyone with any blemish from worshiping God in the temple. That meant if you had leprosy, if you had a skin infection that even looked like leprosy, if you were lame, if you were blind, if you were deaf, they believed that it was because of some sin of yours, even in a past life, as we had said, or of your parents, or of your grandparents, because the Old Testament said that the sins of the father are visited on the children to the seventh generation. All right, so if you're born blind, it's because of some sin that your great-great-great-grandfather committed. And so you can't worship God. All right, in the early Catholic Church, even up to the 20th century, priests who had any defect could not become priests, or men who approached the priesthood. If they were blind, no. If they were deaf, no. If they were lame and in a wheelchair, no. Because they needed to represent Christ, and so they couldn't be blind and they couldn't be deaf and they had to stand up. That may still be the rule. I've never seen a priest who had just become a priest and had those things. Older priests do. But when they became priests, they didn't have that. All right. So it's like service to God. You can't have a blemish. I read this. All right. All of Leviticus, which is the book of the law, is about who can and can't worship. All right. There's a lot of stuff in there about that, especially lepers. And that's who Jesus healed the most. Lepers, lepers, lepers. And here's why. All of Leviticus 13 is about, it tells the priest how to determine if marks, burns, boils, infections, are eczema, or what they look like, or just normal skin irritations, versus leprosy. Every single mark you had, if you went bald and there were marks on your head, and Leviticus says this, and it talks about the different kinds of baldness on the top of the head, on the forehead, on the sides of the head, all right? you had to show that skin to the priest, and if he saw any mark, he had to isolate you for 7 days and then observe you again. And if it was still there, he isolated you another 7 days. Now listen to this. This is unbelievable. This is Leviticus 13:29. Now, if a man or woman has an infection on the head or on the beard, then the priest shall look at the infection, and if it appears to be deeper than the skin, and there is thin yellowish hair on it, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scale. It is leprosy of the head or of the beard. But if the priest looks at the infection of the scale, and indeed it appears to be no deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the person with the scaly infection for 7 days. On the 7th day, the priest shall look at the infection, and if the scale has not spread and no yellowish hair has grown in it, then the appearance of the scale is no deeper than the skin, then he shall shave himself, but he shall not shave the scale. And then the priest shall isolate the person with the scale 7 more days. Then on the 7th day, the priest shall look at the scale, and if the scale is not spread in the skin and it appears to be no deeper than the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean, blah, 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 blah. I mean, look at this. It's like a medical book. It has to have yellowish hair. It has to be deep, blah, blah, blah. All right, these laws are so specific about what to look for, and there are tons of them in there. This is just for people who go bald. Now, in Leviticus 13:45, this is what happens if you're declared a leper. This is God saying this. As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. He's isolated. So when Jesus heals a leper, and he told them, go show yourself to the priest, the whole point of all of his healing and sending all of them to the priest was so that they could finally worship God in truth and in fullness in the community. And that's what Jesus did for us in his life, death, and resurrection. He heals us and then founds a church so that we can worship God in community. So it's natural for us to be angry at God. It is. It's natural for us to be angry at God for things. I mean, look at what happens in 2 Kings. Here's the answer to your trivia. Naaman, the Aramean, is cured of leprosy by the prophet Elisha, who tells him to go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Remember we talked about 7 being the perfect godly number? Now, Naaman, after he is healed, completely converts and worships only Yahweh. Again, it becomes a type for confession before worship, all right? Isn't that interesting? He cleanses before worship. They are lame and cleansed before worship. When we say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, which is called the Confiteor, or when we say the Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, and we're declared forgiven, that's the washing we do before we enter into worship of God, before the Mass begins. And that's for little sins that we commit through the week. It's all about being pure and holy. Now, let me tell you those 2 stories about healings that I performed after I take a sip of this. Thank you for dealing with me with my need for drinks constantly. There was one in particular. This one happened first, and then I'll tell you the other. Also, just if you're listening in, let me give that number again. 347-633-9174. 347-633-9174. You can call in at that number, and I will pray over you for healing. So let me tell you this story. I was home, and I worked at the Roman Catholic Church as as the director of adult formation. I was in charge of everything. And the receptionist called me, Mary, and she said, "Christina, there's a lady here who came in here demanding your phone number. And we have someone on the line. I'm just going to finish the story. She's demanding your phone number." And I said, "Put her on the line." And I spoke to her, and she wanted me. She was hysterical. "Please come and pray over my friend in the hospital. She's deathly ill." So I met her. I went to the hospital with her. I came into the room, and this woman, Suzanne was her name. And Susie was on her deathbed. She looked like a skeleton. And I came into the room, and she had cancer, and it was throughout her body, and there was nothing they could do. So I prayed over her. And again, that electricity went right through me. And the woman, Susie, woke up. And her friend said, "Oh, this is the person I told you about," because she had found out about the healing I did in those groups. And I told them all, "Keep your mouth shut, because I don't need people camping out on my front lawn." But anyway, she was nice to me, but she was not happy. I never knew what happened to her. Almost a year later, I get a card in the mail from her. And she said others told her I had prayed over her, and she wanted to thank me because when I came after that moment, she was cancer-free and living a happy life. And give glory to God. What an amazing thing to give her. God's just so good to us sometimes. We have someone on the line. I'm going to bring them on. Hi there, this is Bishop Rake. What's your name? Are you there? Hold on a second. What did I do? Hello? Hello? Okay, I lost that caller. I'm sorry about that. Could you call back in, please, and I'll help you. Also, if you're in the chat room and you just want to tell me just your first name and what's wrong with you, what specifically you want me to pray for, you could just give me an area of your body, too, and we'll pray for that. But just let me know specifically what you want me to pray over, and I will do so. The number to call in is 347-633-9174. I hope that I can take calls and that Blog Talk isn't giving me crap again. Excuse me. So let me tell you the other stories. I had a friend who converted, and I helped him through his conversion. He was Jewish. He was converting to Catholicism. And after he was baptized and everything, we stayed friends. And he called me because his brother had disappeared. His brother had issues with drugs. And his brother had disappeared. He was somewhere in the Southwest. No one knew where. He called me because he had gotten a call. His brother was found almost naked on the side of the road near death. They brought him into the hospital. All of his organs had shut down. And he would wake up from time to time, but he'd be completely disoriented. And he was going. I mean, his heart stopped 7 times while he was in the hospital. He was a goner. Everything was shutting down. It was just closing down one by one. Renal failure. His lungs were gone. He couldn't breathe on his own. He couldn't move. So his brother, of course, called me and told me this. And he said, "I've got to pull the plug. His brain is dying too. I've got to pull the plug. And I said, okay, you know, I'm here. Just call me. And he pulled the plug and he called me and he said, you know, when I told him, a tear came down his eye, but then he went under. And he's still breathing on his own enough to stay with us, but they figure it's going to be a couple hours. So I said, okay. And he went, and it hit me. I didn't intend to do this. It hadn't even occurred to me. But it hit me, and I just had to pray over him, or I was going to fall on the ground. And I did. My friend called me an hour later, and he was like, you know, he hadn't been at the hospital. I was just talking to him. I was so sorry and everything. He calls me, my friend, at, I think it was almost 1 in the morning, and the same night, and he said, you are not going to freaking believe this. And I said, what? What's wrong? You know, did he pass? He said, no. He's standing up, banging on the door, demanding to be let out of the hospital. He pulled all of the plugs out of his body, woke up, and he's banging on the door, and the staff is trying to keep him down, but he's fine. He just woke up, and we were laughing, and I never told him that I'd done that. I don't think I ever shared that with him, but it was kind of funny. Is he dead? No, he's banging on the door to get out. Ah, I see. Sometimes the healing is kind of problematic. I am going to play a song, and I'm going to give you the number again, and feel free to call back in. The person who called in with the 646 area code, please call back. I don't know what happened when I answered you. I couldn't hear you, so hopefully there's not a glitch in the system. The number is 347-633-9174, and ask me in chat, too. I can do this in chat. Just first name, area of the body, or you can get more specific. Let's play this one. This is fun. Again, is 347-633-9174. And just so you know, I didn't mess with my mic, so if you could hear me drinking or through the song, yay! Excuse me. I shouldn't drink soda, because then I burp a little bit when I'm talking. Anyway, if you want to give a call, we have a couple more minutes. It's only 10:30. Again, call in at 347-633-9174. For those of you who are listening to this as a download or streaming later in the week, then by all means, if you need prayer, then email me at charismatic, universalist@gmail.com. So be happy to pray over you during the week. That's fine. And, we're here to help you. And there are thousands of you who listen every week. But again, lots of people listen, and very few people reach out to us. But we're here to help you. We're a church. And if you're listening, you're part of the community, even if you don't join formally. Just so you know, I am doing classes for those who are interested in receiving the sacraments of initiation, baptism if you need it, First Communion, and confirmation. If you want to join our church and you have received those sacraments in a Catholic church or baptism in any Christian church, then you are welcome to contact me and I will help you come into the church because we accept those. If you receive First Communion and confirmation in a Catholic church, then you have here. They just transfer and you just join. If you've been baptized in any Christian tradition, then you're baptized as far as we're concerned. And then we would just give you First Communion and confirmation. So if you want to join formally, and we are setting up plans to promote the church and to get it out there, well, that'd be great. If you feel you have a calling to ordination, you can also contact me. I would be happy to ordain you in this tradition after study and after theological preparation in a graduate school setting. That would be my joy to do so. And you could help spread the word and help get the word out there that this church is here for people. A lot of people really, really want this. They want a liberal Catholic church that retains the theology and liturgy and ritual they're used to and they love without the 2,000 years of encrusted old boys club that's been added to that beautiful theology, all the politics that are about maintaining power. That's not here. We don't have that. We don't have power either. Let me think about it. Anyway, the number is 347-633-9174. Before we finish up, I'm going to do our guided meditation. You are free to call during the guided meditation, and then when we're done, I will bring you into the show and we'll pray over you. If you're afraid to call, and that makes sense, then you can email me during the week at charismaticuniversalist@gmail.com, or you can like our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/2. I have to remember which is which. I'm very bad at that. Charismatic Universalist. So go and like our Facebook page. You can search for it. There's a friend page. Ignore that. You want the public page. Anyway, let's prepare for a guided meditation. I will play a brief song for you to prepare. How about Amazing Grace? You'll have about 4 minutes. Thank you. Okay. Now that you're comfortable, I'd like you to start breathing in through your nose for a count of four, and then out through your mouth. So in, two, three, out, two, three. In, two, three, four, out, two, three, four. In through the nose, three, four, out through the mouth, three, four. Continue to breathe like that as you tense up and relax your calves. Tense up and relax your thigh. Tense up and relax your buttocks. Tense up and relax your torso. Tense up and relax your biceps. Tense up and relax your hands and forearms. Tense up and relax your shoulders. Tilt your head to the right so that your ear is touching your shoulder. Come back to the middle. Tilt your head to the left so that your ear is touching your shoulder. And come back to the middle. Continue to breathe in through your nose. Two, three, four. Out through the mouth. Two, three, four. I want you to fully feel yourself sitting in your chair. Your feet flat on the floor. Place your hands palms down on your knees. I want you to just sense your whole body and your surroundings. Now, as you're sitting there, I want you to see Jesus approaching you. He has a big smile on his face. He brings a chair and sets it in front of you so that when he sits down, his knees are touching your knees. He's that close. While you're sitting there, I want you to tell your Lord what has been bothering you this week, physically and emotionally. Any situation you need healed, tell him now. Jesus nods as you finish. He puts his hands on your knees and says, I'll take care of it, all of it, if you let it go and give it to me. And then he smiles and he sets his hand on the part of your body that is hurting you the most. Now, as he closes his eyes and looks up to heaven to pray, where he's touching becomes very, very hot and tingles beneath his hand. The area feels heavy, as if something is pulling everything inside towards his hand. And then Jesus stops and pulls his hand back and says, it'll be okay. Keep doing what you've been doing. Keep taking the medication you've been taking. Keep all of your doctor's appointments. But you're going to be okay. no matter what happens, I'm here. And you both stand up and hug. You tell Jesus how much you love him and what he means to you. And Jesus says, "You mean everything to me. And what I especially love about you is I want you to smile and thank Jesus for what he praised you for, and give him another hug before he pats you on the shoulder and walks out the front door. Slowly come back to the room. You're breathing in through your nose, 2, 3, 4, out through your mouth, 2, 3, 4, in through the nose, 2, 3, 4, out through the mouth, 2, 3, 4. I want you to slow your breathing or speed it up until it's normal and open your eyes. I hope you got some message from the Lord. That'll help you through your day and through your healing. Before I let you go, I'm going to play a quick song. And then when we come back, I'm going to pray over all of you for healing in the region of your body that's ailing you the most. Listen to this song. I've played it before a couple times. It's amazing. It's about the Lord's healing and our expectations of him. While I'm playing it, we have time for at least one phone call. So if you want to call in during the song, the number is 347-633-9174. Here's your song.
The news came. And without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come, and they wondered why. The death watch was over. Grace. But she said, "Lord, you don't have
And concentrate on the part of your body that's in need of healing. I'm going to be quiet for a minute as I send out healing to all of you. Put your hand on the part of your body that ails you. And out comes the healing energy. Just a couple minutes, and I'm going to put on some music so it's not dead silent for you. I sent out my healing, not just to those listening right now, but out into the future. If you'd like to call in, you have 4 minutes, 347-633-9174. But I'll tell you that as the energy went out, I saw a left hip a uterus and ovaries, a heart, migraines and allergies, a blood clot, deafness, macular degeneration, and carpal tunnel. I saw all of those being healed in my mind, in people listening. I'm curious if you do experience some kind of healing during the show, and I'd like to do this healing every single time. If you're curious, or I'm curious, if you experience any kind of healing during the show, please do email me and let me know. It's just confirmation. The email address is charismaticuniversalist@gmail.com. So email me for that. You can email us for any help in spiritual direction, questions, for sacraments if you need them. As I said, baptism, marriage, those we will perform regardless of your faith. Confirmation and First Communion, we accept it if you had it as a Catholic. If you want those are for people joining our faith, just to let you know. So I will do house blessings. If your house seems haunted and you're in the Northern Illinois area, give me an email, because I am also a paranormal investigator and a part of several teams. So you're welcome to give me a call. I will do a walkthrough of your house to see if I can see what's there, because I have other gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I can talk to those who are on this earth, perhaps also in purgatory. And again, if you send us a donation, we have thank you gifts for that. You can do so by PayPal, charismaticuniversalist@gmail.com, or by sending us a check at Charismatic Universalist Church, P.O. Box 4163, St. Charles, Illinois, 60174. If you need any of our information, you could go to our blog talk page, Charismatic Universalist Church, and just click on one of our shows or on our profile, and you can find every conceivable way to get in touch with us. Thank you for joining us this morning. Bow your head for God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, give you all healing that you need throughout your life. May He bless you abundantly, financially, with good health, and with happy family relationships, now and all the days of your life. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our time together is ended. Go in peace to love and serve God by always loving and serving each other. Good morning, everyone.
Glory be to the Father.